was so impressed with how many videos we got for Father's Day compared to all the videos that we got for Mother's Day. Father's Day outpaced them by a lot. And I was just thinking, you know, our church just loves dads. And I realized, no, it's all the moms making sure those Father's Day got shot and all the dads play a little lazy getting the Mother's Day video. But that was wonderful. It was a beautiful thing to see. Welcome. I'm glad you're here today. My name is Matt. I'm the pastor. And I'm glad you joined us for this time of worship. And I want to invite you to turn in the scriptures over to Acts chapter 15. We're going to be taking a look at the end of that chapter, starting in verse 36 and going through verse 41. So if you find that spot, just put your finger there and hold on to it for a second. If you didn't bring a Bible with you and you don't use a Bible on your phone, you can find a pew Bible in front of you and turn over to page 1096. And you'll find Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 41. Just put your finger there and hold on to it. I was thinking about probably the first time, I'm pretty sure it was the first time, I ever went to Marsha's house to pick her up for a date. This would have been in high school. And her folks lived outside of our hometown of Northam. And I drove my black Sierra, GMC Sierra old pickup truck. And it was a worn out old thing. And it had old rust and tread on its tires. And it got 8 miles to the gallon, but I loved it. Of course, when you're a teenager, if something gets you from point A to point B, especially the point B is a girl's house, you like that vehicle no matter what, right? And I showed up, and, you know, Marsha's the youngest in her family. So the whole family, like everybody that's there, her older sister, her younger sister, her mom, her dad, her older sister would have been married at that time, or maybe they were dating, and her husband. Now, of course, they all came out for this. And so, you know, it's a little intimidating. So I just walk up, say my hellos, and then, you know, we're walking back to the truck, and I just kind of, you know, just kind of go around to my side of the truck, and then Angie, her oldest sister, yells out, "Aren't you going to open the door for her?" So I, you know, did that half jog, where you're not really jogging, but it looks like you're going fast. Half jog around the truck to open the door. She gets in, we drive off. I don't know what happened after that, but I remember thinking, this is not a good start. It's not a good start to our dating relationship. Thankfully, things have gotten better over time with the in-laws, but it wasn't a good start. It was a bit of a rough start. And we all have had an experience with a rough start. It may not have been in our relationships with our family. Maybe it was a rough start with a job, or maybe it was a rough start with the school year, but we've all got a story of a new beginning that didn't go the way we wanted it to go, right? What we have in the scripture here this morning is a rough start for Paul and Barnabas. We've been walking through the book of Acts, and Acts tells us the story of the church after Jesus' death, resurrection, and his ascension, meaning he went to be with the Father. And the church is given the mission to take the gospel out into the world. Well, part of that mission was not just to the Jewish world, but the Gentile world as well. And so there was a couple guys in the Jewish church who was given the role of taking the gospel to the Gentile world. Two of them that really are prominent in the book of Acts, especially thus far, is a guy named Paul and a guy named Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas are about to embark on their second missionary journey. They're going to go and encourage the church that they have started. And I'm sure their plans are to share the gospel along the way, but that's what they state. So we're going to read what happens when they get started on this second missionary journey. You're going to see a rough start is a common thing, not just among us today, but even back in the day. So look at it with me. Acts chapter 15. We are going to be starting in verse 36. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. Acts 15, starting in verse 36, says, "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. And as you are seated, I just want to say a word of prayer for us this morning. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I pray that it would encourage us today. Would you help us to see the truth that we read within it, the example of your servants, how that might inspire us, God, in the midst of a tough start, to keep going. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Paul and Barnabas are two godly Christian men. They have given their lives in service to the gospel. They're traveling in dangerous places, certainly leaving behind family and friends. So these are two very mature and godly Christians, and yet they couldn't see eye to eye when it came to John Mark. Now, Barnabas, we understand his position. John Mark was Barnabas's cousin. That's family, right? And you always give family a second chance and a third chance, and probably too many chances, because they're family, right? And so that's how Barnabas felt about it. Let's not give up on John Mark. Let's keep him in the work and bring him with us into the second missionary journey. I think it's a very understandable position. But Paul also had an understandable position, right? Paul is thinking this is a dangerous journey, and the cause that we're on is really important. We can't take any chances here, even if he's your cousin. He left us on the first missionary journey to go back home because he didn't want to keep up with the work. And we don't know why. We don't know if he was scared, he was tired. We don't know why he left. But he abandoned them. So Paul has a very understandable position. I want to talk about what it means to have a rough start. But I think it's worth pointing out that even Christians of goodwill can disagree. And it says that they disagreed vehemently, or it says specifically they had a sharp disagreement. They did not end up leaving together, right? Barnabas took his cousin, John Mark. They went off on their trip. The Apostle Paul took a guy named Silas, who was one of the Christians in the church in Antioch, and they went on their trip. They couldn't come together in agreement and embark on the same trip, so they took two separate trips. So this story, this rough beginning, doesn't have the ending that we would like to see right here on this page. But this page is not the only page that tells the story of John Mark and Paul and Barnabas. We see throughout the scripture that Paul has a reconciliation with both of these men. He will talk about John Mark as someone who's important to his ministry. He talks about Barnabas in his letter to the church in Corinth. And so they're able to bring things together in their relationship. So a rough start doesn't have to determine the finish. And so it looks bleak at the end of this passage, but we know through the rest of Scripture that these three men are able to patch things up and they're able to move forward. But I think it is worth pointing out that does happen. There are Christians who are Christians of goodwill, mature Christians who just see things differently, and sometimes that might cause them to part ways, at least for a time, with a hope, of course, that at some point there will be reconciliation. I mention that because we see that happening in our world today. Events that are occurring right now in our nation, just around the issue of the coronavirus and what we need to do and what we shouldn't be doing, what we should be worried about, what we shouldn't be worried about. Christians of goodwill have differing opinions on those things, do we not? And now in the midst of that, we have had this racial explosion where we've had these issues around issues of race that are very concerning. And Christians have different opinions about those things. And we're not going to necessarily always see eye to eye. But I talked last week, if you were here, you remember this, if you weren't here, you'll go back and listen to it. But I talked last week about that very thing. How do we live our lives so that when we do disagree, we still can honor God? Because honestly, when I read this passage, I don't know who's right. I get what Paul's saying. It's a dangerous journey, the stakes are high. We don't want to take someone along with us that, you know, they abandoned us like he did last time. He's got a track record. I get that, 100%. Now I can also understand Barnabas' position, you know, as far as this is family. Jesus is all about second chances. Let's give this guy a second chance. totally understand his position. I don't know who's right, but let me be frank with you. In all the debates around coronavirus, I don't know who's right. All the issues of racial tension, I don't really know who's right. Probably a little bit of truth in all of it, right? Or at least some of it. So, how do we live that out? What I love about the example here is we don't know how they worked it out, but we know they did. Somehow they were able to reconcile the relationship. But it was a mission that started with a rough start. And that's really what I want to spend a little bit more time on, is thinking about rough starts. Because as I said, we've all had them. And if you didn't have any rough starts at the beginning of 2020, well, you had a rough start to the year 2020, all right? This has not been a great start to this year. We're halfway through, and we got halfway to go. But, as I said a minute ago, a rough start doesn't have to determine the finish line. We have a God who determines the finish line. We have a God that helps us to prevail. We have a God that is able to bring good out of bad every single time. And the most clearest example of that is the cross of Jesus Christ. That looked like the most horrendous, terrible event in human history. In a very real sense, it was. And God was able to take that and bring about an incredible amount of good. Not just for a few people, for a little while, but for a lot of people, for eternity. That's what God can do. I just want to encourage you this morning. That's what God can do with this start of 2020. That's what God can do in the rough start in your own personal life, whatever that might be. Maybe related to family, health, job situation, financial stuff, your spiritual life. You may be in the midst of a rough start right now, but that doesn't have to determine the finish. Your willingness to partner with a God who can bring good out of bad is what will determine how to finish. There's a good book that I love. I've read and listened to a few times. It's called Good to Great by a guy named Jim Collins. And it's a business kind of book. But it tells an incredible story that I want to share with you. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here, so just hang with me. But he tells a story about a guy. He's an admiral, and his name is Jim Stockdale. And he was the highest-ranking United States military officer in the Hanoi Hilton prisoner of war camp during the height of the Vietnam War. So that's who Admiral Jim Stockdale is. He was tortured over 20 times during his 8-year imprisonment between the years of 1965 and 73. Stockdale lived out the war without any prisoner's rights, no set release date, and no certainty as to whether he would even survive and see his family again. On top of that, he shouldered the burden of command, doing everything he could to create conditions that would increase the number of prisoners who would survive unbroken while finishing an internal war against the captors in their attempts to use the prisoners for propaganda. Now, after his release, Stockdale became the first 3-star officer in the history of the Navy to wear both the aviator wings and the Congressional Medal of Honor. Now, the guy who wrote this book interviewed Admiral Stockdale, and he asks him a question that I would certainly want to know the answer to, which is, how do you survive that? Let's be honest, whatever we're facing right now probably pales in comparison to being in a POW camp, tortured regularly, no idea if you're going to make it out. So Jim asks him that. How did you deal with it? Here's a quote from him. He says, I never lost faith. I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade. He goes on to say, this is a very important lesson. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. I think that's a helpful way for us to look at a rough start to our year, a rough start in our personal lives, whatever it might be, is that we have to look at reality. We cannot pretend like there aren't real issues in your marriage, in your parenting, in your workplace. Real issues in our society, in our world. We can't pretend like it's not there. But we also can never lose hope that with the help of God, we will prevail. Prevailing is not just surviving. Prevailing is coming out the other end stronger than when you started. So you may have a rough start, but that rough start may be the very thing God uses to strengthen your faith, your relationships. Your ability to handle hard things may come only after you've handled those hard things. But that's the kind of God we serve. That's what he can do. But we have to partner with him in that. We have to look at the hard things that we're experiencing without losing hope that God will help us prevail. I'm thankful for the example here of a group of guys who had the very best intentions to encourage the church and take the gospel further into the world. They had the very best intentions. And even though they disagreed, and even though they had a hard start, a rough beginning to their journey, God used them. God used them in incredible and mighty ways. Even though it was a tough beginning, God was able to use them. He was able to bring reconciliation in their relationships in the end. That's what God can do. And that's what God has done. Through the person of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what God is able to do. He saw the world off to a rough start. And he intervened in the midst of that rough start. And because we had gone through a tough time, we were in a position where we were open to the work of God in our life. And that's almost every Christian story. That something challenging in their life opened them up to the truth of the gospel. That's the story of the world. As the world struggled to live out what they knew of God and to stay in a relationship with God and kept failing and failing and failing, God saw the rough start that we were in, stepped into human history, and provided for us a way to, in the end, prevail. So even though it's a rough start, we have full confidence that we will prevail, not in our own abilities, because we've already seen God do it. Over and over again in the scriptures is a testimony to God being able to work through the most challenging circumstances with those who are willing to be faithful to him and bring about an end that you would never guess based on looking at the beginning. That's what he wants to do with us. Let's pray again. Father God, again, I'm so grateful that your word just tells the plain truth, even when it's ugly. Even when Christians disagree and aren't willing to work together, even when there's a rough start like this, that you are a God who can bring about a far better ending, and that through you we can prevail no matter what we face. And I pray that we would reach out to you, even now during this time of invitation when we have a chance to respond, that we would reach out to you and ask you to help us to prevail, to lean into you so that our confidence might grow not in ourselves, but in what you can do based on who you are, and most importantly, based on what you have already done through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we ask this prayer. Amen. We have an invitation. We have a chance to respond to the Lord. Josh is going to play softly for just a moment. Give us a chance to pray and talk to God. Because I don't know what it is for you, but each of us knows what a rough start looks like. And you may be in one right now. And it may be chipping away at your hope. But turn to the Lord in prayer now and talk to him about it. Ask him to build your confidence not in what you can do, but in what he can do in you. because we have a prevailing God who wants to help you prevail. So let's respond to him in prayer in just a moment.